your level of output is always kind of, it's always just amazed me. Without giving all of the secret sauce, what is the secret sauce?
So I made a mistake many years ago of, I'd wake up on a Monday, I'd go, right, what am I going to post today? And it was just horrendous. It's very easy to fall behind. So I batch ahead of time, anything from 10 days to 14 days out, something like that. You don't have to say something new every time. You can say the same thing in 1,000 different ways, mm-hmm. and you can repurpose it in lots of different content mediums. And that's the real trick, because we've only really got like 20, 50, 100 things to talk about, but it's spinning into different ways that then gives you variation ultimately.
Hi, welcome to the Content Mavericks. I'm Jay Siskazil from Too Fresh.
I'm Jack Longman from Social Advantage.
And in this episode, we have James Newell from Clear Sales Message.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you,
man.
Very good, very good. You finally got me. I'm trying to avoid this for the longest time. But here I am.
So James, obviously we met some many years ago.
Yeah, a while ago. I was giving a training that you came to many years ago. I haven't got rid of you since. We're still here.
Well, look, since that first time I saw you training, I realized you had a massive talent when it came down to the areas of sales, communication. So impressed. And it's an area that I've always studied and been obsessed with. So to see someone so talented doing their thing in front of such a big audience really blew me away. And since then, I've been really engaged with the content that you're putting out to the world.
Thank you.
So, and thank you for putting out that content to the world, because there's huge value in it.
Thank you very much. It's amazing what 20 good guesses. That's a great introduction. Thanks very much. Pretty soon.
So I want to get into your kind of process around your own content creation, because your level of output has always kind of, it's always just amazed me. So without giving all of the secret sauce, what is the secret sauce?
The secret sauce for me, the first thing is really batching. So I made a mistake many years ago of, I'd wake up on a Monday, I'd go, right, what am I going to post today? And it was just horrendous. It's very easy to fall behind. So I batch ahead of time, anything from 10 days to 14 days out, something like that. But I also, learned that you don't have to say something new every time. You can say the same thing, but in 1,000 different ways. Mm-hmm. And you can repurpose it in lots of different content mediums. And that's the real trick, because we've only really got like 20, 50, 100 things to talk about. But it's spinning into different ways that then gives you variation ultimately.
So do you, because I mean, some of the ways we look at it for different clients, there's like a macro piece and that informs all of the micro pieces of content. Do you do it that way around, or do you just choose a couple of subjects and do micro pieces? And because some people do it the other way, is that like they'll put out loads and loads of micro stuff on Twitter, like, oh, that one did well, I'll do that as a blog or as a long video or anything like that. Which way round do you do it?
I kind of do the third option. So I'm just aware that just putting out as much as physically possible is the way forward. So calls to action in as many of the posts as possible, whether it's followed by or whatever. But for me, it's just sheer volume. So it's like my podcast that we were talking about. I'm on episode 200 at the moment. So just getting a sheer volume of things out there in the marketplace gives me a lot more chance of being seen ultimately.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, so we can give our audience a bit of context. Just give us a brief explanation of the actual service that you provide, and then we'll relate that to the content you're putting out.
Yeah, sure. So I teach people how to sell. That's essentially how I explain what I do. And for me, it comes in two really distinct components, and in this order. So the first one is having what I call a clear sales message. So being able to articulate really clearly and succinctly what you actually do and why people should choose you, which sounds really flippant. But if you've ever struggled to explain that, been in a networking situation or closing a deal, like, so why should we, can't we just do this ourselves? It's actually really hard. So clear sales message, first of all, which is essentially code for value proposition. And then from there, what I call selling confidence. So that's the ability to be relaxed and comfortable and confident in a selling situation. And for me, selling is just paint by numbers. There's only a certain number of things that can actually happen, but most people don't know what to do or what to say. So I spent the last 5 or 6 years or so breaking sales and selling down into about 500 or so individualized paint by numbers components that I can then pull together to achieve certain outcomes. So the high level is I teach people how to sell. There's a huge focus on messaging, actual, so people can understand it. And then that confidence piece. But the confidence kind of comes from the messaging anyway.
Mm. And speaking from experience, because I'm someone who has been a customer of Clear Sales Message. It was amazing. And it obviously has changed the game for my business now. But also, I think one of, coming from where I kind of come from is like vastly like creative area into learning how to run a business. I had to learn sales after the fact, and it didn't quite come naturally to me. And I think you were the first person in this space that just taught things in a much more down to earth, a much more like natural way of doing it. So I distinctly remember a conversation you and I had where I was like, oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed by like how much I have to do and how much I you know, all the reach is out. So you got to get you 100,000, man. And you were just like, just do 5 things a day. Yeah. Just do 5 actions, whether that's following up someone on an email, giving someone a call, or, you know, doing your kind of marketing activity. Just make sure that you're doing your 5 sales actions a day, and it will help move the needle rather than trying to do 200 dials in one day and then just burning out. And it was that the level of advice that always kind of stuck with me is like, you were someone of the trust. So it's really weird with our mates and picking you up like that. Like, it's true.
This is my other 20 quid. This is great.
40 quid. Good value.
Well, you know.
So where did the idea for you doing this as a business come from?
Well, that's an interesting one. So I worked in sales for about 12 years for a well-known car manufacturing corporate sales. So I was doing high-level business-to-business selling. And over 12 years, I did £600 million worth of sales. So I was really successful on paper, but I hated myself and I hated my life. And I was deeply, deeply unhappy and I wanted out and I was trying to get out. Somebody introduced me to the world of networking, said, look, why don't you come along, just meet some people, because you should teach people how to sell. You clearly know what you're doing. And I was reluctant because even at that point, with that success, as it were, I didn't really identify as a salesperson or somebody who's good at selling, because I just talk to people and they buy stuff. I thought selling was like what you're saying, Jack. It's like it's me versus you. It's kind of I'm going to close you or you're going to all this kind of adversarial high pressure stuff.
Yeah,
it's really not. It's just, oh, you've got a problem, Jay. This is what I do. Maybe I can help you. What do you think about that? That's it. So I started working with some businesses for free to work out. I now know it's called product market fit, but at the start it was fanning about. Basically, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I need to work out what it is. And I sat down with 6 businesses in particular who agreed to work with me for free. My first questions were, what do you do? How do you do it? Why should I choose you? All this kind of stuff. And they all fell over instantly, could not give me a straight answer. It was either too long, and I had, you know, when somebody's explaining something and you concluded for them, oh, so you're a photographer, right? That's what you do. So is that too short? I'm a photographer. Then that's it.
Mm.
Or just too difficult. So I realized that was the bit where most people struggle is, and as flippant as it sounds, they can't take what they do for a living, ultimately. Mm. We have brand guidelines, these logos, these fonts, these colors. And we're aware of it, even if we don't have it. We're aware the consistency is important. Yeah, when it comes to selling, we pretty much chance it and say what we feel like. And we don't realize the importance of that consistency, whether you've got a 1-2 person business or a 50 person business, is huge. Mm. So it came from there. And then I wanted a really, really good name for it. And funny enough, it's my wife that told me to use Clear Sales Message. I liked Sales Message Clarity, which is random. Those are the 2 options. And she's right about everything. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go with you. And I realized retrospectively, from a technical kind of linguistic standpoint, why it works so well. I'm very, very lucky to have that name. So I wanted a good name, productized offering, so fixed deliverable, fixed cost, none of this. Well, it's £100 an hour and, well, we'll see how long it takes. That's not very attractive. I wanted to sell it in the way I'd want to buy it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, almost instantaneously, I started to get customers and that was it. So I really lucked out on product market fit.
That's really, what you just said there is such an important thing, actually. I wanted to sell it in the way that I would buy it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so many people don't do that. And they feel like they have to be like, well, this offer expires in T-4 days or something like that, all of that stuff. Whereas like, how would you buy something? Would you feel comfortable being sold to like that? Do you come across that a lot?
Ultimately, yeah. This is like, when I talk to people who are uncomfortable when they're selling, mm-hmm. So this is your North Star. So if you find yourself following people out, just checking in, touching base, did you get my email? And you know they're worthless actions, really. You know that. Why are you doing it? Mm. Because if somebody did that to you, you wouldn't like it. So you have to understand that if you wouldn't like it as a buyer, then don't do it as a seller. The difficulty is you don't, without sounding rude about it, you don't know a better way of doing it. Mm. So you're defaulting to doing that because it's what else do I do? But there is a better way. But yeah, that's the North Star, is if you wouldn't buy in that way, just be careful about selling in that way, because it doesn't work. And also, we're pretending to be somebody we're not. So I'm big on emotional contagion. So you can tell somebody's energy. So I could say whatever I want to you, but you will draw conclusions from what I'm actually saying to you and how I'm vibrating right now. So if I lie to you, if I go off topic, talk about things I don't know about, you'll spot me a mile off, whatever I'm actually saying to you. So if you ever had a call and you might have said this to your partner, you know, it sounded okay, just didn't feel right, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's where we've got this incongruousness of I'm pretending to be somebody or something I'm not, because this is what I was told to do by the internet. Or this is, or this is what I think works, because TV or movies is the biggest red herring ever, right? So people that sell are greedy, self-focused, bad people. It's not portrayed well at all. And that's where a lot of it comes from.
That's so true. All right, can I ask you, so my experience when I got introduced to selling was listening to people like Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar.
Yeah.
Like, this is like 14, 15 years ago. Then that moved on to Grant Cardone and his philosophies and teachings. There's always been a bit of a gap in the market from a UK point of view.
Yeah.
And the nuances maybe between the way we have sales conversations in the UK and the way we do in America. Because so much of the content that's been put out on sales is American. Did that sort of inspire you to do something a little bit different with the content you're putting out to the world?
It didn't really inspire me, but there's definitely... So I'm extremely kind of judgmental. I've got a very high bar for things. There's nothing worse for me than just theoretical advice. That's the thing that bugs me is, well, if you had a better name for your podcast, blah, 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 how do we get the name? Like, how do we do it? There's no step-by-step, paint-by-numbers thing. So when I started my business, simultaneously, I was doing the clear sales message work. But I thought, if I can just like annotate how I'm doing what I'm doing and what I'm doing so I can teach it, surely there's huge value in that. And now I've got over 500 different components in that, but I can get extremely specific. So for example, in differentiating a business, I've got like 60 plus different strategies you can do. Whereas most people like price, I don't know. They don't have the structure, the choice. They don't have the structure of the choice to do it. I like to have fun as well. But this is what's lacking is people are nervous when they sell, literally because they don't know what to do or what to say. I can give you 500 things to do and say, and you only need two of them to work. So a lot of the stuff is quite theoretical and also quite aggressive. So I really like Grant Cardone as well. But for me as a Brit in particular, it's quite aggressive. And some of the stuff is like, oh, just agree with everything that they're saying. It's like, oh, I'm not sure if I like that. That comes back to the behaving as a buyer and a seller thing. You can kind of tell when somebody's pretending to be somebody they're not, just to, oh, great jumper, Jack. How are you? You can kind of tell when they're just trying to please you. It's a great jumper.
He's conscious of
that. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So there's something you said in there about following up.
Yep.
Right. And that was something else that you said that in the past has always stuck with me. Don't chase them, replace them. That has saved me so much time. Can you just explain that concept?
Yeah, sure. So don't chase and replace them, which, funny enough, is a rap lyric that I stole.
No way.
I'm not going to sing you the rest of the song because you won't like it. But basically, too many people are trying, you know, what's the average number of follow-ups? There's all these myths out, oh, 7 times, 15 times, this and that. It depends on the person, the product, you, the economy, all sorts of things. So just forcing people and just following up the same people, they're not essentially then just going to eventually buy from you. You've got to find more people. So the trouble is, rather than putting our effort into finding more people and more prospects, because that's scary, because I don't know what to do and I don't know what to say, I'll just go back to Jack. Oh, Jack, how are you? Did you get my message? Because I'm safe there. Yeah, rather than trying to find like 50 or 100 more Jacks. And that's where this desperation comes in. And people kind of kid themselves. They look at their pipeline. Oh, look at all these people I'm talking to. But if you're, I call it replying to your own message. So if I message Jack, he doesn't come back to me. And then I send another message. So I'm essentially replying to my own message in a way, right? It's a dangerous territory. So don't chase and replace them. It's all about putting your focus and finding more people rather than chasing them up. It's not to say don't follow people up, because I've been accused of that before. That's not what I'm saying, but your big focus should be on finding more people, because when you've got more options, there's less pressure ultimately. It's like dating or anything else, right? You feel a lot more cool. If this was a sales scenario and I'm talking to 50 more companies like you, not in a rude way, but I don't care about the outcome. It's fine. I'm cool either way. If you're the only people I'm talking to, I'm a little bit more invested in this conversation. And I may say or do things that are not in your best interest, but in mine. And that's where it goes wrong, ultimately.
That makes
Got
so
serious
much sense.
There. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, it makes so much sense. Was that a Rick Ross line or a Kanye?
It's a Notorious B.I.G. line.
Is it? From which song?
I can't remember the name of the song, but it's his approach to women. basically.
Well, I mean,
but let's not go down that road.
It turns into sales in an interesting way. That's great. That's great. No, but that, I can relate with that. That's definitely an approach that's worked that we know that I've implemented. And because your deal flow just gives you more options, and the 100% said that you put out to the world, people feel it, don't they? They feel 100%. If you're desperate for a sale.
100%. Yep.
So let's talk about your podcast. So how many episodes are you in, and how long have you been doing it?
I'm 200 episodes in. I can't remember when I started now, but it's only literally like, 200 days ago, because it's one per day. So there you go.
It's one episode per day.
One episode per day of 3 to 6 minutes approximately.
That's amazing.
Bro.
That's
amazing. That
is amazing. Told you I've got a lot to talk about.
So where did the idea for doing that come from?
I've got a wildly short attention span, and I know I'm not the only one. Like, if you look at the speed with which you go through TikTok or Reels, like, I don't even know what decisions I'm making. I'm like, I'm not even conscious of it. So I'm really aware that people like things in short, actionable form, and it kind of plays into how I like to do things, how I like to take on information, like practical, simple things. So that if I've smashed sales and selling into all these little individual components, I can talk about one of them a day for however many days in different ways. So that's really where it came from. And I've got to a stage now where people email me and they're like, I've watched like 50 or 60 episodes. They binge listen or binge watch it, which is crazy, but probably more achievable for me than putting up like a 2-hour, like a Joe Rogan or a Jocko podcast or whatever, where they're massive. There's an audience for that. But I think for this, it's just the bite-sized daily nature. And for me, from a selfish point of view, it's a follow-up mechanism. Mm. So rather than me emailing Jack saying, did you get my message? If he's listening to my podcast and I'm in the background, I'm poking him every single day. He just doesn't know it. And I'm bringing value to you. So I'm following up in a really positive way too.
Yeah.
So it's acquisition, but it's also a follow-up mechanism.
That's genius.
Yeah.
That's
good. It's not. It's very basic.
It's great.
But you may never have thought of it.
No, it's great. Like, following up in a way that adds value and having constant touching points, which ain't, excuse me, are you ready to buy?
Yeah.
Are you ready to move forward? Are you ready to move forward? I think it's a very clever strategy.
And those emails, they are just, are you ready to give me your money?
Yeah. It's how can I phrase this differently? But yeah, that's essentially what they're saying.
Yeah.
Yes, they got your email. No, they don't have any questions. No, I don't want you to touch my base. Like, all of that, all of the questions are just, but even as you write them and send them, you know it's garbage.
Yeah.
But you don't know a better way. And I don't want to sound rude when I was condescending when I say that, but if you don't know any better, like, well, what else do I do?
That's right.
We'll follow the process everybody else does.
Look, I want to come back to the podcast in a minute, but because we've gone down this email route, and there's something that lately, and then I say I don't know what's happened. I do know what's happened. Alex Hormozi has released another book, and the whole world is using that formula on my bloody inbox. The amount of emails I get every day, like, quick question, Jack, do you have time to take on 3 more leads? Or,
oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's the same thing, and it's like, you know that businesses are built that are like on new business, right? And I'll give anyone a chance in that role. But when it's like so uninventive that they've literally just gone, command C, command V, bye.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just feels so great.
And also, it's the equivalent of saying, do you breathe air? Amazing. We can help you. It's so obvious. It's just like, I don't like it. I like things to be original. It's like we were talking about earlier with like editing videos as Casey Neistat style. That works just for Casey Neistat. Find your own style, you know.
I mean, we've said before, like, we're both quite big fans of Alex Hormozi's stuff. Mm. And I think there's a reason why he's so popular, right?
100%.
But it's like,
he's real, incredible.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, okay, he's real, incredible, and you doing it in exactly word for words the way he does it.
Yeah.
Is not. but back to the podcast. So what I kind of took from that is it's bite size, right? So as you say, it's like with the whole Joe Rogan, Jocko podcast being like 2 to 3 hours long, like, oh, there's a really good bit in this podcast. You have to find it, though. Whereas you're just like, here's 6 minutes of value. And as you say, if you're on a run or you're at the gym, they're just going and going and going. And you're constant touch points for you. So what I'm curious is, are you using that? Are you like tracking the data of what's performing best and then repurposing them further?
No, at this stage, no.
Oh, bro.
Because I'm only 200 episodes in. I decided, so when I upload it, you have to put like what season and what number. And I went over 100 episodes. Like, okay, so I think season 1's going to be 1,000 episodes. Season 2 will be 2,000. because I missed that boat. But no, at this stage, because I've only got 200 episodes, I'm not doing that just yet. I'm still throwing things at the wall, and I'll worry about it later. Going back to my earlier point about just the production, get it out, get it out. I've got a feel for what works from talking to my clients and students, and I give talks and lectures and stuff. So I kind of got a feel for it. I will get to that stage, probably when I run out of ideas. It might happen. I'll come back and then look at those and then analyze them. But the main thing for me, talking about things like don't chase and replace them, I want to inspire people to act immediately because it will make a difference for them, but it's actionable in the moment, which is demonstrable of what I actually do. So it's not, so don't chase and replace them, don't chase and replace them. You know, five words, that's an actionable follow-up strategy you can do now for free. There you go. Rather than you should follow people up in a more quality way. It's like, well, how do I do that? I don't know. So people withhold too much. I like to give really, and I've got lots of maxims like that. Don't chase and replace them. A bit like, you know, don't answer your own emails. Free offer first as well is a good one for me. So when you follow people up, when you're talking to somebody, it's so easy to say, Jay, oh my God, this is what you need. Here we go. This is what it costs. I tend to give people the free option first. Say, check out my podcast, check out this, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll kind of coyly then come to this. Because if I lead with just trying to go to money straight away, that can be too direct for some people. But it's those little kind of catchphrasy things I like because they stick, and that means you'll actually do it, then it makes a difference. And it's not just another podcast we forgot about, ultimately.
That's great. Can we talk about some of the impact that putting out all this content on your Spotify, on your LinkedIn has had for your business? So that would be my first part of the question. And my second part of the question is, I remember a time that when the three of us were at a networking meeting. And I don't know if you remember, James, but me and Jack turned around and we said to you, you've got to get more content out. Just selfie style. Get it out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I do remember that. Yeah, I do.
Because you were putting out this amazing content, but it was mostly like segments from your e-learning course.
Yes. It wasn't my face, basically.
And me and Jack were like, mate, you're so good. Just like, don't worry about the production value too much. Get your iPhone out and start doing it. And I think you left that meeting straight away.
I did
exactly that.
I remember the video I filmed, yeah.
You said, I remember that. And like ever since that day, it's...
Look what you've done.
Gifted the world
It's all your fault, yeah.
But my question was there a hesitation around getting yourself out there?
100%.
And could you tell us a little bit about how you got past that and what you'd recommend for other people that might have that hesitation in terms of getting themselves out there?
So I've got a nasty habit of just naming things because I'm strange like that. So I call it the bulldozer method. I decided that if I just film like 200 videos, I'm going to get good at doing video. So that was it. I made a biggie promise to a friend of mine. I'd do one video per day for 200 days. I called them my LinkedIn rants. It was kind of pre-COVID. So there's a playlist on my YouTube channel with LinkedIn rants. I got up to like 150, 200 or so. So I just smashed the fear out of me basically because I could give talks to 50, 100 people in real life. But looking at a camera lens by myself in my office was terrifying. And I don't know why. So I recorded loads, didn't post them. Then I recorded some, posted them. And I got good feedback. So, okay, fine. Then it just kind of iterated from there. To your earlier question about kind of the impact, though, is first of all, it's super duper qualified leads. So I have people that are trailing me for months. And it's really funny, on LinkedIn in particular, because they come to me like, James, oh my God, it's so great to speak with you. I've been watching you. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I haven't seen you ever like or comment anything. What is wrong with you? Where have you been? So there's this joke I have that none of my clients actually like me. So there's so many people lurking in the background.
That's common. I've seen that. I hear that a lot.
But we do it too, right? Because it's one thing, look at, oh, that's great. It's another thing to actually hit like, even if it's not a lot of effort. So even if you've got low metrics, and they're vanity metrics, really, don't worry. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because not all progress is visible. I had somebody said he was trailing me for like 9 months. And then I spoke to him, and I've got the same background in my office as on my videos. Oh my God. Oh, it's, for him, it's like he's talking to somebody from the radio or TV because he feels like he really knows me.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to do. So the reach of getting lots more people is great. The nurturing thing, which leads to the qualification ultimately. Because for me, and this is what I say to people, if they want to work with me, it's like, go and listen to my podcast, watch my videos. You can decide if you think I know what I'm talking about. You can decide if you like my energy or not, or my approach, and you might learn something too from it. If you like that, come on back, and that's it. But you decide.
Yeah.
And the content allows me to do that with so many people. Oh, I couldn't possibly say anything of value because we have to charge for that, and they're missing a trick, ultimately. How can you buy the perfume if you don't know what it smells like? You've got to give somebody a bit of a sample,
so ultimately. Yeah, definitely.
Or a lot of a sample, in my case.
But it comes down to something that I talk about a lot, about like, being consistent with content, because posting is prospecting, right?
Yes.
So it's like every single piece of content is a touch point with your target demographic.
100%.
And people do get hung up on the vanity metrics, on likes, on comments, on shares. But I think there's actually some stats around this, and obviously I'll check myself after this recording, but I think it's like LinkedIn membership, 99% of the people don't engage, and they don't, or it's
very high
of that. It's like 99% of the people either don't post or use LinkedIn as a creator. It's only 1% that do. So most people are lurkers, like, and most of the people that are, when you get those notifications, like, so-and-so viewed your profile, you go and check who it is, and it's like, premium, please. Like, those people are, they're watching.
They're consuming, they're consuming 100%.
In the same way we consume, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually, we're maybe not cognizant of it, but we watch lots of content and see lots of things, and then we decide to buy the gadget, the gizmo, the whatever. It's just nurturing, isn't it?
And depending on the industry you're working with, and I don't think, like, a lot of this goes against, like, popular advice from what I've seen in my industry in general, but, like, a lot of industries are just so competitive that people won't engage because they're like, well, if I do that, my whole friends list sees that I've engaged with something and they'll be like, oh, who's he talking to? And, like, that sounds like it's like, you know, you're being old-fashioned, but some industries are like that. They're like, so people in new business or, like, directors of business, they just won't do that, but they'll be watching, they'll be looking at it.
Can we just go to the point about that fear about getting on?
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
No problem.
Start talking about the bulldozer method.
No, go for it.
So it's the same with my podcast. So somebody said to me, why haven't you got a podcast? A couple of months back, or 200 days ago, essentially. And I could hear myself giving him these BS excuses. I haven't got the time, blah, blah, blah. It's like, why don't I have a podcast? I'm like, right, you're on, I'll do it. So for me, the only way I can overcome these things is just by doing them. You can read all the books, you can watch all the stuff, but just do it. If you're really nervous, just don't post it. Film it and then watch it and that's it. You will think you look funny. You will think you sound funny for the first couple of hundred videos or whatever. Now I'm perfectly happy. It's really sad because sometimes on Spotify, my podcast comes on and I listen to it and my wife catches me listening to myself at home. She's like, I say, I've got a really nice microphone. I like the sound of my voice, literally. But you do, it's just the familiarity of, you've never seen yourself that often out, you know, you see the reflection of yourself, but not in this kind of setting with cameras, etc. You just get used to it. But action is the only way to do it. There's a phrase I quote often, which is ACT, act, action changes things. I can't remember where I got it from, but it does, right? And do is half done, which it literally is everything about the word do. So just start, just do something. Right. Do is half done. That's right. So just start, record, don't post it. If you're really that terrified, do not post it. Watch your back, do that 50 times, then post it. But it's the frequency of it.
Doing it 50 times, you'll probably find one to post at least.
After probably 10, you're like, I can't wait. That's too soon now.
Yeah.
So simple advice. It's not easy. I'm making it sound easy. It's not easy. But for me, it was the only way to do it. How else am I going to do it? Even if you have coaching or somebody help you or whatever, you've still got to do it. It's like public speaking. When I first started public speaking, I was absolutely terrified. I had dry mouth. My breath was really high like this. It was absolutely horrendous. And again, after like 500 speeches, I'm all right now. I'm cured.
So where do you record all of this stuff?
In my home office. So I've got a garden office at home. It's called The Shed with Big Ideas. So it's one of those garden offices, but it's essentially like an extremely expensive, well-insulated and soundproofed shed. So I record most of the stuff that I do. Some like walk and talk content, which, interesting enough, I had a lot of feedback from people who said they like it. And I think it's because it catches their attention because the background is moving.
Yeah.
So that is helping them to stay. Not that I'm not fascinating as it is, but that's helping them to pay attention because the background is moving as I'm walking along.
Yeah, it's more eye-catching.
So it's those two, really, ultimately.
What content have you been enjoying online?
Ooh, good question. I don't want to say Alex Hormozy because I feel like everybody says that. He's very good. I do like a Jocko podcast. There's actually a podcast called Founders, and they've got like a black and white logo. I don't know if you've heard of this. That's very good. And it's essentially a guy who like reads books and then rather than give another 10-minute pricey, he'll do like an hour podcast on that book and on the person.
Oh,
it was recommended to me by a client recently, the one about James Dyson. And I'd already read the book on James Dyson, the original book. There's a new one out now. And this guy read the new book and he was talking about it. It was fascinating. So audio only, and it's about an hour long. But with that, I walk, do the washing up, tidy up, whatever. So they have their place. The longer form stuff does has its place. But that's what I'm enjoying, I think, in the Founders podcast. Really good.
So what's your favorite film, James?
I knew you were going to ask this. Pursuit of Happiness, I think, with Will Smith, based on that guy, Chris Gardner. It's a real story. There's just a particular scene with where, I don't know if you've seen, have you seen the film?
Yeah.
Where he like spends the last bit of money to buy a light bulb to fix a machine, and he sells a machine, and that's how he can feed his son, and he's in like a homeless shelter. It's like in the absolute depths of despair, he's still got hope and he still believes in himself and he can do it and he backs himself, and then he does succeed in the end. It's just wild. And when I found out it was a real story afterwards, and I got the book and read the book, and the book's always better than the actual film, I find.
Yeah.
It's even more like destitute and graphic than the actual video. It's crazy. Really good.
I read the book, but I follow him on Instagram, and his Instagram handle is CEO of Happiness, which I thought was
that's cool. He's a fascinating guy.
That is good. It's one of the best business films, I would say. That, along with The Founder.
The Founder's good. The
Founder's brilliant.
The Social Network's pretty good as well.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
What?
Yeah, it's a bit of a cardinal sin.
In the industry you're in?
I know.
Right, stop filming now. Come on, guys. Go watch that and come back.
That should be your homework
it's
tonight.
It's a super film.
Yeah, just... Yeah, maybe it's just my experience of Meta Business Manager just makes me not want to watch it. But
think of it as a David Fincher masterpiece.
Yeah.
An Aaron Sorkin masterpiece. To direct a writer combo. It's brilliant.
It's a great film. I don't know who those people are. It's a great film.
That's me geeking
out. I guess.
So we've been talking a lot about your content and your podcasts. Where can everyone find them? And where should they go?
Where should they go? Oh, it's the killer question. I usually say LinkedIn because I'm extremely, extremely active on LinkedIn. So the first one is LinkedIn for me. I'm there, James Duval, Clear Sales Message. And the second one is the podcast that's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts go. I use like one system and it sends it everywhere. Mm. So if you want to hear me every day, you can listen to podcasts. If you're not that fast, you just want to see what I'm up to, you go to LinkedIn. That's the best place.
What system do you use to put the podcast everywhere?
This isn't, well, we've already got one. But. Well, it is Spotify. So it used to be Anchor FM, and then Spotify bought them. So it's like Spotify for podcasters or something like that. So I use that and it just syndicates automatically.
Oh, cool.
Although I've heard that it apparently favors Spotify and delays it. I don't know if this is real or not. It delays distribution to other places because it's trying to get people to Spotify. I heard a rumor the other day about that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I would not be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, it's kind of like, oh man, maybe I should change the platform. I don't know.
So what's next for James Newell on Clear Sales Message?
A lot of international work for now. This year, I've got a lot more international clients, which is cool.
It's cool.
A lot more stuff in the educational space. So I lecture at UCL, MIT, Birkbeck, a few other places. And just really finalize my methodology, which is ridiculous to say. But after 6 years, I feel like I'm just about at the point. I'm like, okay, I've solved all of selling now. And I have I have an answer. I'm sure I'll never get that. But I have an answer for everything. But I feel like it's really, really developed. Definitely over the last 12 months. That's what's next for me. I love what I do. Hopefully you can feel that. Like, I do this because I love what I do. I want to set a really good example for my kids. And I absolutely hate my job before and hate my life. And not to be too dramatic. So to do the work that I do, I really enjoy, and people really resonate with it. It's just, every day is a school day. It's lovely.
That's awesome, man.
Awesome. Well, thanks for your time, James.
Thanks for having me.
It's been brilliant. And follow this guy. He's added tremendous value to both me and Jack. And this was a fantastic episode. Thanks for watching.
Thank you.